Baby boys, baby girls, what's going on? It's your boy, SKIP.88 here from Blurred Over. We are here again. We are back. And we are back on a beautiful, yet cold, yet freezing Sunday in March in Birmingham, Alabama. I hope y'all having a good day. Hope y'all having a good Sunday. Hope y'all went to church and praised the Lord. Ha! Thank you, Father. Ha-sha-na-na-na. So I hope y'all did that, and I know y'all finna eat some good food now because, you know, after church, I don't know, something about that's after church, the food that's be so blessed and good. You know, you got neck bones, smothered pork chops, baked chicken, beef tips, macaroni, collard greens. Oh, my God, I wish my mama, I hope she cooking. But, man, I'm glad to have y'all back on. We got a special guest in the building. This brother is from my state, and he is from a certain city that I used to police in, and he's doing great things. He's a comic book creator with his own comic, a black comic book creator at that. So this is going to be exciting. So hope y'all got somebody who's inspired and want to be a comic book creator that's watching this interview right now to come in, because he's going to give you some pointers, and we're going to get to know him of what he made. So without further ado, let's welcome our special guest to the building. And let me get this set up right quick. Quick and boom. Hey. How you doing, sir? Welcome to the Blurred Over Being a Blur podcast. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Man, I appreciate you for coming on, sir. I'm glad because, you know, we supposed to did this, I think, what, last Sunday? Last Saturday? Friday? One of the two? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, life be life, and then we had to do certain things, so... Thank you for doing this. I'm sorry about, but you know, it's happening now, so I'm glad to have you on. So
glad to be on.
Glad. So doing this duration of this interview, what would you like me to call you or go by?
You can just call me Ronnie. That's my artist handle.
Okay, we'll call you Ronnie. All right, Ronnie. Before we start this interview, is this okay that I pre-record this and put this on the Blurred Over podcast page?
All right. Perfectly fine.
Okay, people, today's word is consent. That's what you need. So, we won't get sued. All right. Man, so thank you for doing this, bro. This is going to be a good time. I'm glad to have you on and glad to have somebody from my state that's doing great things and putting on for the state of Alabama, and let alone putting on for the city of Montgomery, Alabama, the 334 and the Wetumpka area. And, oh, God, what other areas down there? Montgomery, Wetumpka, Selma is kind of down there.
What else am I missing?
Am I missing something else?
There's Prattville. There's Millbrook.
Millbrook. Yeah. Clayton? Is Clayton down? Yeah, Clayton's headed that way too. Yeah, forgot about that. But man, so thank you for doing this, man. This is called Being the Blur, where we interview the black excellence inside the nerd community, especially what you're doing with your own comic book, man. It is amazing. You're doing great things, and I can't wait to talk about it and get to know more about it. So now the first question that I always ask to the people that I'm interviewing, everybody loves me to ask this question, so I want to fail though. I'm going to do you the same way, sir. So, Ronnie, what makes you a blurred?
What makes me a blurred? I would say, you know, growing up, like, my exposure to the comic book medium, as well as comic book characters at a very young age. I have pictures of me when I was like 4 years old posing like Spider-Man, like just I have old drawings still to this day that I illustrated when I was like really young, of like Batman and all my favorite characters and stuff. And I stay with it. As you can see, you know, I've got, you know, my character behind me, and I didn't stop. And it's, you know, the cover of my book, and I kind of just kept going with the passion that I've kind of had since I was little. And the first superhero medium that I was exposed to was the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
That 2002, that was the year that I was born. But the second one came out, that was 2004, and I was like 4 years old. So like that was like the first exposure to really, you know, any type of movie, let alone superhero or superhero genre. So it's in my DNA, you know, like it's just like that's just what I've been into. So I guess that's what makes me a blur, like, you know, the superhero stuff.
Okay. Okay. And you say, Ronnie, what year you was born in again?
2002.
God damn, I'm old as hell. Woo! Yeah. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong, you know, but man, because you know that was a 2002. Wow. We ain't gonna hop on that. I'm telling my age now. I was born in 88, so yeah, I'm ancient. But man, that was a good answer. I'm happy this, like what you said, because now we got further more things we could talk about deep into the interview, especially, you know, you being Batman and posing with Spider-Man. So that is awesome. And now the next question I'm going to ask you is a follow up. Ronnie, what do you think about the word and the term blurred?
I think so initially, and I'll be honest, like I think with the term blurred, it's like, you know, obviously every black comic book nerd, right, is just like, I guess, fiction enthusiasts in general. We want to have our own community. We want to be able to have our own, you know, place. And so this is kind of like,
true,
I guess, name that we all share collectively. I think for me personally, it's like, I don't mind being called a blur, and I don't mind being just called a regular nerd, because it's like obviously you recognize my blackness, but at the same time, I don't want to be pigeonholed into just being a blur, because it's like, what makes me different from, I mean, besides me being black, what makes me other, you know, I guess, comic book people, you know, like, I don't want to be like with other comic book guys, and they're like, oh, he's a blur, then they're just separating me. And it's like, we all like the same stuff, but at the same time, acknowledge, I think it's important to also acknowledge, you know, the differences in culture and stuff like that too. So I do appreciate the term blur too, because it's like, you know, we have our own community. So I think, I guess that's a good answer from me.
That is a great answer. I like to hear that, because, you know, I just want to hear people's mindsets of, you know, of the word, because like I said, some people, you know, don't want to be labeled as that because you try to separate myself from the nerd community. But also, you think about it, looking on the backhand, I want you to respect me as a person and also respect my culture as well. So, you know, that answer was it balanced itself out. So it's no wrong answers on that question, for real. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And you know, for a great answer like that, you deserve a great button. And I love pressing buttons. So I would give you this button for that answer.
Is that Avengers?
Yes, that's Avengers. I just feel great. I feel like I want to go out and do something now.
I'm like crying.
So man, let's move it along, man. So tell me, so how, because you know how you're a comic book creator, and you know, making comic books, every hero, every villain has a origin, has a beginning, has a start. So Ronnie, I'm gonna ask you this. So where did you start in your journey of becoming a comic book creator?
Well, I'd say I've always been drawing most of my life, you know, comic book characters, but it wasn't until like my late junior year of high school, getting into my senior year of high school, where I decided I'm going to actually do this. I'm going to pursue it with 110% and see where this can take me. And I kind of just, you know, thought about all my favorite, you know, heroes that I have, but also, you know, what mattered to me as an individual. And I kind of just blended the two until I created my character and created, you know, this story that I have. And so I just went forward with that. You know, once I got older, my skills were already kind of like there. But when I first started the book, I still had some, you know, some room to progress as an artist, but I felt confident enough to start a book, you know, where I was at that age.
Okay. Awesome. So, you know, making your comic book anything, was there any other comics that inspired you, that you read a story, or it's a certain hero, certain, you know, that certain city? What was it that kind of, what was that book that kind of make you, that inspired you to become a creator?
I think for me, growing up, I couldn't really afford comic books. I kind of like window shopped, but what I would do to like even to listen to comic books, I would watch like Comic Storian or like Comics Explained and those guys on YouTube, they would have like, you know, like they'll basically talk about the particular stories. But I kind of didn't really have a particular story in mind when making the character, but I did have the characters or the idea of certain characters in mind. Like, I would say the inspiration behind All-Star, like, character-wise, is probably the early versions of Superman, America, John Stewart, Green Lantern, Blue Marvel from Marvel. Those are just a couple of characters that I could name off the top of my head that were huge inspirations for the creation of my character.
Okay. Now, speaking of the your comic book, it's called Radical Comics, correct?
Well, my publishing company is called Radical Comics, but okay, my actual comic book is called also my comic book character, his name is All Star, but the first book is called All Star Book One: Protect and Serve, and then All Star Book Two is called All Star Book Two: Destiny.
Okay. So now let's get into the good part of this now. So how did you come up with the name for your hero, All-Star?
So All-Star's name kind of stems from two different stories. Well, not two different stories, but more or less like something that happens during a story. Mm-hmm. And it kind of ties to his powers. So his son was actually killed in the story, and his son had a particular nickname. His son's nickname was All Star, and after the death of his son, once he received his powers and he wanted justice for his son, he chose his son's nickname as a tribute to keep his son's memory alive. His son wanted to be an All Star baseball player, and you know, his son wanted to play baseball, but then after, you know, his son was killed, he was like, you know, like he. The a reporter asked him after he was, like, you know, protecting people and doing his superhero stuff. A reporter asked him, like, what's your name? Like, who are you? And I did a flashback of him and his son together playing baseball in their front yard. And, you know, he called his son All-Star. And he said, my name is All-Star. So that was kind of like how he chose his name as a hero, not knowing that eventually he would find out his powers stem from all of the stars. So his powers actually come from the stars. So this crystal that was created by this cosmic being from space, she could actually manipulate the fabric of stars, you know, throughout the universe. And so she was created by God. So she's kind of like a goddess, but she's not, you know, she's not like the creator of all of, you know, all of creation. But she was created by God with a specific purpose, and that's to bring a balance throughout the universe with good, as well as like being a being of light and justice and all that stuff. So after the death of his son, our main character prayed to God for some sort of justice, and the being that God created, she heard his cries for help, and she sent this crystal. The crystal was actually crafted from stars, and if you didn't know this, human beings, fun fact, human beings, we also share the same elements within us that stars do. So calcium, carbon, oxygen, sodium, iron, all of these elements that we have inside of our bodies already, the stars and sky. So this crystal that was crafted from the stars, when it was sent to him, it bonded with his body, and it's actually permanently connected to him as a part of his nervous system. But once he developed the connection with the crystal, he developed a connection to all of the stars in space. And so stars have a tremendous amount of energy. Superman's powers come from the yellow sun, mm-hmm. which is really just a big star. But his powers come from all of the stars. So not just the sun, but all of the stars. His main source of power comes from white dwarf stars. And when stars go supernova, they emit large amounts of energy, more powerful than nuclear bombs. And so that's just one star, but he's going to be able to tap into the power of basically just, you know, every star, you know, throughout the universe. And there are going to be threats that could possibly be more powerful than him. So that's why he's so powerful. But yeah, that's just, I guess, the basis of his story and his the way that his powers work.
Okay. Boy, That song. That is awesome. That is awesome. That is a great story. That is a great story. By you telling it, I was already like engaged. I was kind of like, okay, now I need issues 10 through 20 now, because this story just sounds so amazing. And I like how the premise is, how I set it up, you know, and, you know, the death of his son, they kind of inspire him to become, you know, become a hero, asking for God. First off, like, what made you, I want to know this, because when you were telling the story, you said this certain being. I want to know, what made you put God in this story? Because you know how some people feel about, you know, the creator of all things. So what made you just want to just like, you know what, let's see what have I put God in this? What made you do that?
Right. So, okay. So for me, I grew up Christian. I'm still Christian.
Amen.
Knew I wanted to implement God within the story some type of ways, you know, in Black culture, you know, God is within, you know, Black culture, within Black history. You know, Harriet Tubman was, you know, called, you know, Moses at one point. She was seeing visions, and like, God was speaking to her, you know, like certain figures, just, you know, it's within us, it's within, you know, our culture. So I just felt like, you know, being from the South, I wanted to implement that somehow. And you know, he, after the death of his son, there's literally a panel where he's praying to God for justice. And then I just was like, I want to do it. And my thing is, when I created the being that has that power, I originally was thinking I could make her an angel, but I didn't want to change anything from the Bible. So it's like, I kind of made this like new character completely, and kind of just decided to do something original. But I definitely wanted to implement something like that. And then also to having a character that is God-fearing, you know, I wanted to see what that would be like. You know, how can someone with all of this power still, you know, believe, you know, in a God or in a figure, you know, like that? So I just felt like it would be an interesting concept to see, you know, someone who has all this power and he's still like, you know, a man of faith. Like, that's kind of humbling, you know, like, and it just goes to show, like, even the way, and I'm Christian too, so it's like, I didn't want to make All-Star like a second coming of Jesus or anything crazy like that. Cause like, I've seen in certain interpretations of Superman, they're like, you know, like, I think in the Man of Steel movies, he was more or less kind of like this, like Jesus like figure. And it's like, no, he's like, he has power, but he's nowhere near, like, the being gave him his powers was created by God. So you have to imagine how powerful the God of the universe is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's levels to it. It's like having Superman and then, you know, the creator of the DC universe going up against Superman. Like, that's not a fair, you know, fair fight or fair comparison. There, you know, he's more like a champion of some sort. It's like God's like chosen guy, you know, or just like another one of God's chosen, like Samson in the Bible. You know, Samson, he had super strength,
right?
You know, God. And you know, he wasn't supposed to cut his hair, but he wasn't Jesus, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's levels to it. But yeah,
what, outstanding. we finna have a whole sermon on the mountain on this live. That's what's up. I like that. I like to hear that. Sunday. It's Sunday, and it's Sunday too. So yo, if I ain't go to church, brother Rundy finna go ahead and give y'all a sermon real quick. That is awesome, man. I love this. I like people on my Instagram saying like they love the concept, they love the story. So this is beautiful. And noticing, I know you say, you know, you talk about Samson, the strongest man in the Bible, and God told him not to cut his hair, because if he cut his hair, he would lose his connection with God and all the strength that God gave him. So with me saying that, so does All-Star have a weakness?
He definitely does. So I haven't displayed it in the books just yet. Okay. I can talk about it. So because his powers come from the stars, before the stars was created throughout the universe, before God said, let there be light, there was nothingness. That was within this universe. Kind of there's some parallels to the Bible, but because obviously it's fictitious and it's from my head, it's not, everything isn't completely accurate. But in the universe, before the stars were created, that is all star superpower, right? The stars. Mm-hmm. Before there was, you know, the stars, what pre-existed the stars was darkness. It was nothingness. It was dark matter. And dark matter is actually the substance found in space that makes up all of, you know, existence. But dark matter can actually be controlled. And because it pre-exists the stars, it actually can hurt All-Star. And so it's like, if you want to collect dark matter and turn it into weapons or armor, something like that, then they would be able to pull from space and like find like chunks of it or whatever. And one of his supervillains, his main supervillain, is going to have dark matter armor. And, you know, All-Star also has a cosmic barrier of protection that surrounds him, because so stars are ridiculously dense. Mm-hmm. Just one alone is 10 billion times denser than steel, and All-Star can make himself just as dense as a star. So everything that I've like talked about in terms of stars, he's basically that. He's a living star, but he's not just one star, but he can have the combined power of multiple. So, but with dark matter basically can break down his powers in a way. So, like, you know, it can make him vulnerable. Like, if he gets hit with like a person that has like dark matter weapons or dark matter gauntlet or something like that, he would feel it like a regular man. It might even make him bleed, you know, depending on how many times you hit him. But that definitely can hurt him or kill him, you know, depending on, you know, the severity, you know, or how much, you know, energy they're using with that dark matter.
Man, sir, I want to tell this to you right now. You got a bright and huge imagination, and I love it. That's what you need. That's original. That is all from everything. Like, and you putting, it's amazing, like, you made a comic, and you put God and science and everything, like, what we was taught in school, what we was taught in the Bible, into this one comic. So this comic book is really and actually deep, and people really need to wake up and actually get this comic, because that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So, now, I know you showed your book, because can you let the people see the character of all, let the people see All-Star?
Yeah, so, Here's the back of the book. I got a ring light, but this is just a close-up of what the character looks like. Sorry.
Oh, that is awesome. So how did you come up with the color scheme? Red, I think it's red, blue, and white in his uniform?
Yeah, so with the uniform, it was just like a multitude of different things.
Hey, Ryan, can you do me a favor? Can you bring that back?
Oh, you want to look at
it? Yeah. Yeah. Yo, so who did you make that, or did somebody make it for you?
A friend of mine made this. His Instagram is No Way Shrimp, but he blessed me with this figure. And for my Kickstarter, I just reached $2,000. He told me if I met my goal that he would send three more, and so people already purchased the limited edition figures. And he might be able to make more for me. So who knows? I plan on opening up a website in the future so that people can get the books and other, you know, memorabilia of, you know, my characters and different things like that.
Yo, this is what you call, let me get on the screen real quick, but keep him up though. Keep him up. Don't let him go nowhere. But this is what you call black excellence at its finest. Comic book, he got his own figure, and his friend made the figure, and he reached his goal. This is what we really need to uplift. This is what we really need to inspire other people to do, because this is amazing. Like, let's look at the details of the figure. Like,
yeah. I mean, this is pretty great. It's great.
This is where you can have stuff like, you can have that in Target, Walmart, anywhere. It's like, for, because Let's be honest, Ronnie. How many black action figures do we actually have and do we actually see on a daily basis?
Not many.
But something like that, that would... Go ahead.
I said, or black-owned, neither. Like, we have, you know, people making black action figures, but, like, a black-owned, you know, action figure company. There probably are some out there, but they're not, like, prevalent or known, you know?
Exactly. Man, but that is awesome, man. Man, you know, God gave you a vision. You went with it. He guided you every way. And, like, man, it's working out for you. That is amazing. And by me all saying that, can I have it?
You know, I might talk to my friend if he can make more. You know, he actually threw this in for me. He liked the story. Also, my character is a retired. The character is actually a retired Marine. He has my friend. He had felt like he had a connection to the character because he was also in the military as well. And so he sculpted it for me. Did a 3D sculpt and. He said, what's your address? And I'm like, it's like, for what? Like, and he's like, I'm going to send it to you. I'm like, so what, for free? And he just shipped it to me. And then one day it was a brown box at my door and I picked it up and I shook it and I was like, no way. And I felt like a kid on Christmas Day. And he just blessed me with this amazing figure. And, you know, he's talented artist. No Way Shrimp, if anybody's looking to get, like, figures made, he does. Obviously, you can tell he does great sculpts. But, yeah.
But, I'm gonna have to find him because we got to bring him on and talk to him, too, because that is amazing. Oh, man. I want to ask him, can you make me into a figure? I just want to see that how I would look. But that is amazing. So by you having a figure, your comic book and everything, have no companies or anybody reached out to you, try to help you, or you just be doing everything on your own? Or, you know, I know you had your friend, or you have other help.
I do have Midnight Comics. They've been really helpful. Tasha I should know this man's name. It's on the tip of my tongue. But they've been very helpful with me in regards to I'm trying to remember his name. I shouldn't forget his name, but he's been very helpful. They've been very helpful with my process of, like, learning different things, and if I need to go to them, then they will Lloyd and Tasha from Midnight Comics. They're actually the one of the biggest comic book indie publishers in Atlanta, and they've been doing their thing with their own characters and stuff like that. And they've been helping me also from Between Magic and Dreams. Brian D. Covington, he's been helping. I think you probably met him at the Urban Nerd Con as well. I don't know if you.
What's his name again?
Brian D. Covington with Between Magic and Dreams.
That rings a bit. I think I did meet him. That rings a bit because that sounds so familiar. I think I have met him. Yes.
He had like his own novels and stuff like that, but he's been really helpful with my Kickstarter.
Yes. Yes. I remember him. Okay. Well, that's good. That is awesome. And because recently you was on the news as well in Montgomery, correct?
Mm-hmm. I was on the news as well. Yep.
So tell the people about the story, like, what, you know, about you being on the news.
Yeah, so I was on the news, and they basically wanted to spotlight my work. You know, I was on the news twice. So last year, I was on the news, and they wanted to spotlight my work, you know, being a college student, you know, at Alabama State, as well as just having my book. And that was for my first Kickstarter. And they wanted to help promote my Kickstarter and different things like that. And so this year, they, you know, I have my second Kickstarter for book two. And so they helped with putting my stuff out there and promoting me. And I would say for the most part, you know, I guess people can recognize me like, oh, you're that comic book guy. But I had to reach out to them and I sent them an email. A lot of people don't realize, like, the power of the email. All you have to do is send one. You'd be surprised. But I was really surprised that they reached back out to me and they wanted to do a story. So that's kind of how I, you know, got my connections with WSFA.
Okay, awesome, man. Because, you know, kids, you know, who want to be comic book creators need to hear the story, especially your stories. You know, like how that song is. You know, I got it in the mud, and like you got it. You building it, and you making a whole like society around your comic book, and this is amazing. And by me saying that, has there ever been a time where you felt like you couldn't go on, or you felt frustrated at certain points of on your journey with your comic book?
All the time. You have to have the heart for it. I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's true. Like, my first book was a graphic novel. It wasn't a 20-pager. It was actually 79 pages to 80 pages for my first book. And it took me 3 years to make it. And I had to redraw certain pages, drawing the backgrounds. The art was fun, but there were as I was learning different things, just certain things I didn't know how to do. So I had to teach myself, and then also in terms of like the publishing aspect and the business aspect, because I'm like more creative minded, I had to force myself to learn certain things that I wasn't usually, you know, doing as an artist. So I would run into certain walls, like in regards to, you know, like publishing and you know, business stuff with getting my LLC and publish with a company, and then, you know, running into problems with printing and different things like that, like, or dimensions of the book. Like, I remember when I first made the book, I sketched out all of my pages on different sizes of paper, so they weren't all, the pages weren't all the same. So when it was time for me to print and I finished drawing all the pages, it wouldn't accept my art, it wouldn't accept my files, because the pages were all, you know, different sizes. So I had to learn how to resize the entire PDF and how to, you know, make sure that, you know, that it was able to upload all of my stuff and learn all of these different skills. But, you know, if you love something enough, you'll find, you'll figure it out. It might take you a while, but you will find out how to do it if you love it enough. So
I ain't gonna lie. Ronnie, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking, sir?
21.
Yep. Man, you, but the way you talking, the way you preaching, man, you sound like one of them old deacons in a Baptist church. this is amazing, man. So, but you doing this journey, how have, you know, your parents influenced you or impacted you doing this journey?
Well, I'd say my mom, she's the one who gifted me my iPad. You know, she, you know, supporting me. And then also she told me about the website that I used to print my books off. At first I was like, I don't know if I should use this. Like, she told me the website's called Lulu. And I was like, Lulu? That doesn't sound like a comic book publishing, you know, website or whatever. And so I checked it out and I did it, you know, and I figured it out, and she helped me along the way. And you know, she actually printed some books out herself. She also has her own nonprofit organization, so she's kind of helped, you know, with, you know, some business, you know, aspects of, you know, what I've been doing. And my dad, he's been very supportive. You know, we're in the same state, so whenever I have book signings and stuff like that, he's always there trying to, you know, see how he can help and different things like that, making sure that I'm, you know, staying on top of my finances, because like as an artist, I kind of just want to make the art and then put it out there and just like be to myself. But he's like, no, you got to look at all this stuff too, you know. So it's like they've been very helpful. My grandparents, they're very loving and supportive of my work. So it's just,
that is awesome.
You know, loving environment.
That is awesome. That is beautiful, because I want to know, like, you know, it's a certain impact, you know, to have, you know, have, you know, fans, to have people that want to support you. But it's a whole different demeanor of impact when you have your own family standing behind you, showing you love, showing you support, and going to be with you every step of the way. Because that's amazing.
Right. It definitely is, man. Definitely is.
So, moving along now, We're going to the great Alabama State, ASU. What is your major? What are you taking at Alabama State University?
Well, I'm an art major.
So, so does Alabama State has a great art, you know, artist program?
They do, and the professors are very helpful, very supportive, and I'd say the arts department isn't large, but the professors will go above and beyond to make sure that you get the support that you need. And also too, because, you know, we might have a particular class that might only have 4 to 5 students. So it's like, you don't have to wrestle with trying to talk to the professor with a whole bunch of students in the class. You could literally just have a one-on-one with the professor and it's like, it's not hard, you know? So, I'm a part of the student art organization right now. We had a art and wellness event, yesterday, and okay. That went really well. And, it's very, I would say, they put a lot into the students. They pour a lot into the students and they do care about the students, genuinely. They're not just there for a paycheck. They're like invested, you know, in the students. So, my professor, Alan, he's also one of my professors as well as my advisor, Professor Alan. He is a big comic book guy too. And he's kind of been helping me out and giving me pointers and different things like that. And has his own work, so it's like I'm kind of right where I need to be. I remember at one point I wanted to go to like a prestigious art school like SCAD or the Art Institute of Atlanta and stuff like that, and, mm-hmm. and the tuition is just crazy. But you know, once I got to Alabama State, I was kind of skeptical because, you know, HBCUs are underfunded and stuff like that, and I wanted to make sure that I was in the right place.
True.
But you know, in terms of culture, in terms of being around people that look like me and that that know our history, it's a very enriching environment and feeling. So it's been great, and I've been getting a lot of support. You know, them putting my articles and stuff out there, and I even had my news interview, my first news interview in the art classroom that we had too. So it's great. They're great.
Man, that's what's up, man. That's and then HBCU. So far, let's talk about this. Can you give the people that are watching right now a little bit of the experience of the HBCU culture?
Well, I mean, I'd say like I said before, it's more like just the history of the campus and different things like that. Learning about the history, Alabama State was created and founded by like, I believe, 9 freed slaves that wanted to, you know, start an institution. And so it's just a lot of history, you know, within the culture. But then also, like, the now, you know, it's just the experience of being around people that look like you is very great. And then also, you know, everybody is being around other people that look like you, but also realizing that we all are different. We have our own, you know, different personalities and our own interests. And it's just cool to see people from different backgrounds. You might meet someone from Africa, you know, and have an interesting conversation with them and just like see the similarities, but also the differences. So it's like, I would say it feels like you're around family on culture, I mean, on campus, and, you know, and everybody's supporting everybody. So.
And yeah. Boom, there it is right there, people. The great Alabama State University, where history is made.
Yep.
That is awesome. That is awesome, man. So, bro, you doing it right now. You are really doing it. So, now let's move along to some more topics. So, are you an anime fan, comic book fan, video games? What you like? What's your poison?
I like So I'll tell you a little bit about what I am into, what I was exposed to at a young age. So Spider-Man, you know, I was interested in Spider-Man at a very young age. But my aunt, she actually got me into DBZ, rest in peace to Akira Toriyama. You know, he just recently passed away.
R.I.P.
So I remember when I was a kid, you know, I was watching DBZ and, you know, I saw that, you know, Goku and Krillin, they had like the orange, their orange gis and stuff. I was like, why are they all wearing orange? Like, what's this? And, you know, she was like, that's just their uniforms, you know, because like, you know, when I see superheroes wearing the same uniforms, I'm thinking they're part of a team or something like that. But
right.
I kind of just like, they were, I mean, they're the Z Fighters, but that was like my first exposure to like, I guess to anime. And I feel like Dragon Ball is kind of like the quintessential anime that everybody knows. But that was my first exposure to anime. And I'm still trying to finish Naruto. I stopped at the Chunin exams. And I'm still there. I stopped at like Rock Lee versus Gaara. That's where I'm at right now. So
You can enjoy that. I'm gonna tell you now. You can enjoy that.
Yeah.
So anime is your love. So that's what you kind of you are into.
It's I would say I'm more invested in like Americanized comic books, but I have a love and appreciation for anime as well.
Okay. So
I was first in Marvel and DC, but I can watch anime and appreciate it, you know, for what it is.
Okay. So far being an anime, like, give me your top three favorite animes.
Well, DBZ, obviously.
Of course, the OG.
Of course. I just name dropped Naruto. Oh. I know a lot about what's going on in Naruto. I just haven't sat through all of the episodes and watched them all the way through, but I know what happens for the most part.
Okay.
And then My Hero. I like My Hero. My Hero is pretty cool. I mean, because it's literally superheroes, but like anime. So it's just like, you know, it works for me. But yeah, I'd say those are my top three right now.
Okay, cool. So move it along, man, because, you know, you mentioned Marvel and DC. Now, if you had to pick, I know this is a tough mm-hmm. question, but if you had to pick between Marvel and DC, which one would you pick?
Oof.
See, that's how you get them right there. When they say oof, that's how you know you got them.
Yeah. I would say my first love was probably Marvel, because Spider-Man is a part of Marvel. That was the first character I was exposed to.
Okay.
I love me some Batman and Superman. I like Justice League. I grew up on the Justice League cartoon. You know, I used to wake up early in the morning and turn on Boomerang, and they had like the Justice League marathon and stuff. But
You had watched the OG Justice League.
Yeah, the OG, like the OG stuff with Kevin Conroy.
Yeah.
That was my stuff growing up. But Spider-Man, I think he holds a special place in my heart, because that was what I grew up, you know, watching, even the animated shows and stuff like that. So Marvel, they win with just Spider-Man for me. I mean, but they have Avengers and all those other characters, but I think I'll have to lean towards Marvel.
So let me ask you this. So you know, Spider-Man holds a special place with you. Why is that? Why Spider-Man? It's because of his story or how he is? What is it?
It's more or less, it's a multitude of things. I love his character design, his story. You know, he was just a regular guy, and then, like, you know, kind of nerdy. Oh, somebody's at my door. Oh. They gonna have to open it. Keys.
Okay.
But so Spider-Man, he holds a special place in my heart because of, you know, his origin story. You know, him being a regular person and then experiencing this tragedy and using, you know, the love, you know, of his uncle and the inspiring words of his uncle as like the thing to like never let things happen like that again. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like, you know, after the death of his son, he was like, you know, never again, you know, and he's like, you know, a grieving father that's trying to, you know, basically he's reliving that situation of losing his loved one in order to basically help the greater good. And I really like that feeling, and he's just a down-to-earth, you know, teenager. And I feel like, you know, growing up, like, I definitely felt like that kid that was like a, you know, just, you know, a kid, a teen, you know, a nerdy teen, and you know, wanting to help in whatever ways that I could. And so that's kind of what I'm doing in my book. But oh my goodness, They're just at that door.
If you need to go, you need to go get the door.
I might have to go get the door.
Everybody, don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. Go ahead. I got you. I got you. Comic book sounds amazing. Then he got his own figure. And we are back. We are back. I'm glad to have y'all back. This is an amazing interview. We are talking to Run Creates now, his own comic all-star. And he told us a good... I'm going to tell you, this, the whole story and everything. It got heroes. It got God. It got science. Everything that is going on in the real world, his comic book has it. So thank you for coming back. And where were we at, you know, since, you know, you had to answer the door.
I think you were asking me about why I like Spider-Man so
Spider-Man
much.
There we go, Spider-Man.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, the importance of like responsibility, like that all ties into the character, and realizing that he has a duty to help others. And he's like, his name is, he's the friendly neighbor Spider-Man. He's local, you know. He's helping the little guy, and I really like that. He's not just, like, off all the time in space fighting aliens, but he's, like, you know, in the city. So I really like that. And then growing up, too, like, even Stan Lee mentioned, you know, he could wear a full-body costume. You not even know what race he is. I mean, obviously, he's a white guy, but, you know, kids don't... If you don't know the story of Spider-Man, you don't know that he's a white guy. You know, he's just a cool character that's dressed up, you know? And so, and then also the movies, the first couple of movies, they hold a special place in my heart. So that's why the character is like, he's up there for me.
Okay. So. Okay. I like that. So how did you feel when we got introduced to Spider-Man Miles Morales?
Oh man, I was very like emotional. Like when I first, saw Miles Morales, because I remember, this is a blurred story. This is a blurred story.
Okay.
I had a friend, I won't name drop him, but I had a friend that I used to play basketball with, when I was like, maybe I was like 10, and you know, we were neighbors. And so we would play basketball, but like I would jump around and stuff like I'm Spider-Man and like pose and like do. And he's like, "You're not Spider-Man. You're not Spider-Man. Why are you doing that? You're not Spider-Man." And I'm like, "I like Spider-Man." He just like used to like just like attack me. Like, why can't I just be Spider-Man, man? And so, you know, seeing a black Spider-Man, that kind of just like, I was like, it kind of brought me back to that moment. Like, yeah, there's a black Spider-Man now. You don't have to, now I can be Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. But, man, and... How let me to answer that question. How important, because with your superhero being black, how important is it to have representation in the nerd community?
I think that representation really matters. Like, I'll even say with Black Panther. Like, when I first saw Black Panther and seeing the African diaspora and, like, you know, when they flew into Wakanda with their technology and all that stuff, and seeing our people like that represented, like, it's not showing, not portraying Africa as a poor third world country, but as like, you know, this thriving society. Like it brought tears to my eyes. Just like seeing us, in ways that we've never seen, you know, our culture, being presented before, definitely meant a lot to me. And I feel like growing up, like, you know, like after the death of Chadwick Boseman, like seeing kids, you know, up with, you know, their arms across their chest and, you know, action figures of Black Panther and them crying, like, representation matters. And I think people that say that it doesn't, they either they're too ignorant to understand, or they just, I don't know. but I think that representation truly, truly does matter. You know, like growing up, like I kind of had a problem growing up. Like most of my favorite heroes were white, and I just was like, okay, so it kind of equated to me. It's like, all right, so are they better than me? Like all of my favorite heroes are white, so I didn't really have a figure to like look to that looked like me that was on the same scale as those guys. But I mean, I still enjoyed the characters and the stories, but it's like, you know, like, okay, are they only allowed to be cool? You know, like, are they only allowed to be powerful? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of why I made All-Star too. Cause it's like, you know, his powers come from all the stars. He's this powerful guy. You know, his story is like very tragic. He lost his son. And, but I wanted to make someone who was like, he could go toe to toe with Superman if he wanted to, you know, he could stand up. That's kind of another reason why I did what I did in the story. But yeah, that's more or less where my mind was when I was younger. And I feel like representation definitely does matter.
Okay. Okay. I love that answer. Love that answer. And like you said, representation does play a role in this community, because, you know, growing up as kids, we saw all our superheroes, you know, they were white. And then I think like the first superhero we got introduced to that was actually black was Cyborg in Justice League. That was like the first black hero that we ever saw. And then going past Cyborg, I think this one we got introduced to Spawn. Then after Spawn came Blade. Then after Blade came Black Panther. And then
after John from the Justice League.
That's right. That's right. And John Stewart came. Then after that, that's really, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's like maybe what, 5 or 6 black superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you had a chance, like if somebody comes to you, like DC, Marvel, indie independent company comes to you and say, you know what, we want to help, you know, put your work out there. We want to, you know, get you to more figures, get you to more comics. Would you do it?
I think it would depend on what the contract looks like, because they'll say we can do this for you, but then they want to buy out your character and own your character and own the rights to everything that you've made. So I think I would have to go into it, you know, thinking about all the things that would come with that, right? Like, I've had so many people ask me the question, like, what if Disney came to you? What if Marvel came to you right now and asked, you know, you to do these things, or wanted to buy a character or whatever, would you do it? And I think for me, I would have to say no. And I think I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because I think, obviously, it's a lot of money, but they see potential in me that, obviously, they see money. If they see potential, then they see money. And that means if I can own my own stuff and continue at the rate that I'm going, I could possibly be competition for them, because they see some sort of potential. And then I could make money while also owning my own work. Now, if it's like, unless I make like a character that I would love to just give away, that isn't like, I wouldn't put All-Star in Marvel or DC, maybe like a crossover, but I would never let them buy out my character, because I don't know what they'd do to him. They could kill him off, they could turn him into a villain, they could, you know, they could do whatever they want if they own the property. So that's just one thing that I would think about. And then also too, like with Star Wars right now, George Lucas sold Star Wars to Disney, and Disney is just like,
killed it.
Yeah. So it's like I don't want to be another George Lucas. So I think smart, respectfully, no shade to George Lucas.
Truth, right?
Yeah, because he's a legend. But it's like, you know, like it could have been more. I feel like it could have been more had he not sold it, you know, or if he found another company to do something with it that would have respected his vision a lot more. But if I had like an indie publisher who allowed me to have full creative control over my work, and they allowed me to do certain things, and they just want to invest and see me grow and like that would sound more doable. That makes sense. So,
okay. I like that answer, man. And no, like I said, no disrespect to George Lucas because he's the OG, but I'm pretty sure he just saw, like, this is Disney. I really could make more and do more with Disney, but we see how that turned out. So it's not his fault. It's kind of, you know, the man, yeah, the man with the ears. Ha ha! That talk like that.
Right.
Right. Man, bro, this has been an awesome interview, man. I came to tell you some good news. Would you like to hear the good news?
Yes. It's the good news.
We have made it to the hour mark of this awesome interview. Man, so it wasn't bad, was it?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Man, before we go, though, I got to ask you one more question. Are you ready for this question?
Yes.
Ronnie Creates, would you like to play a game?
Let's play the game.
All right, so it's three games that I play with people just to have some fun with you and to the people that's watching right now. And I'm going to give you the rundown of each game. It's up to you to which game you want to play. Are you ready for the breakdown?
Yeah.
All right, game number one, it is called Questions. Now, in Questions, I will ask you four simple questions. That's four. Now, if you so happen cannot answer these four questions, you have to say the magic anime word, which is
Nani.
Nani, to activate your lifeline. Now, the people who's watching from every platform can help you answer that question. But here's the twist. They cannot answer the question before you. If they answer the question before you, you will hear this sound.
You lose, lose.
And yeah, y'all and Randy gonna have to be fighting. And he from Montgomery, so they throw hands. So
yeah,
Brawl. Yeah, Montgomery Brawl. You know, he got a chair, right? He's sitting in a chair, so that's a clue right there already, people. So that is Questions. Game number two, it is called Hashtags. Now, in Hashtags, I will show you four cards. Now, on these cards are a group of particular letters that form to make a catchphrase, a daily saying, a song, a movie title, whatever. It's up to you to guess the phrase on that card. Now, in this, you got four cards. And you have three lifelines. In order to activate your lifeline, you have to say Nani. That is Hashtags. Game number three, it is called Name That Tune. Now, in Name That Tune, I could play any theme song to any popular anime, cartoon, Saturday cartoon, TV show, video game. And you will have to name the tune of that song. Now, in this, you have five categories. And once we get to category number three, that's when things become very, very interesting. In this, you have three lifelines. And I could play the song for you as many times as you like. So, Ronnie Creates, what game would you like to play?
I think I'm going to have to go with we do questions.
So you want to go with questions?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No.
I'm gonna let you think about it.
Okay.
Let me give you some. Let me give you some help. Some helpful music while you think. Say what?
Let's do theme songs.
So you want to go with the good theme songs?
Yeah. I think my best bet might be theme songs.
Okay. Don't worry. You're going to do fine. So everybody don't go nowhere. We're going to play Name That Tune. And once we come back, Ronnie finna get this work. Don't go nowhere. We'll be back.
Do you want a little help?
Don't worry about me. Fighting that little beast made me start thinking about the animals I left behind on the island, so I let my guard down. Now to fight like I mean it.
All right.
All right, we are back and everything is set up to the best of my ability. And we are going to play the good game of... We're going to play the good game of Name That Tune. Now, in Name That Tune, it could be any song. It can come from Super Mario to Harry Potter to Black Panther to Naruto to Dragon Ball Z. But he going to have to hear it, and he going to try to guess what is that song. So, I think I'm ready. Are you ready, good sir?
I'm ready.
Are you sure?
Yep.
All right. Here we go. Let's go with the first song. Now, you do know these songs can come from anywhere.
Right.
All right. Oof. Don't worry. You're going to be fine. I hope to. All right. Here goes your first one. Ronnie, name this tune.
Oh, I know this. Halo.
What'd you say?
Halo.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, sounds like Halo.
All right, we off to a good start. It is Halo. Oh my God, that game used to be so fun playing with your friends, but now it's kind of like blah.
Wow.
All right. Let's go to the next one. Are you ready for number two?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me see. Here we go. Name this tune. Okay, not dead. This is a commercial. Sorry.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Scooby-Doo. They gave it away.
All right. We on to the next one. Now, this is number three. This one's when things become very difficult. Let me dig deep into this. Yeah. All right. He's doing good, y'all. Alright. Alright. Ronnie, this is your third one. Name this tune.
Nani?
Oh, he said Nani. Okay.
Nani.
So, people that are watching right now, he needs your help. What theme song did I just play? Anybody want to help him? Somebody. What theme song did I just play? Anybody who watched, what theme song did I just play for? I could play it again for you. Here we go.
Is it Shaolin? Ooh, I'm probably way off. I think it was a Disney show called Shaolin something. I might be way off.
You said run it. You said Nani. So I'm waiting for somebody to help you answer the question. Somebody out there. Y'all know it. Somebody know it.
Somebody save me.
Somebody. Help the brother, please. Anybody know?
It's an older or newer show? Unless
it's a newer show.
Ooh, yeah, no, I'm probably not gonna know this.
Oh, somebody said JoJo.
I don't know.
JoJo Bizarre Adventures. Okay. Somebody said, sorry, fam. I would if I could.
That's funny. Let's go with JoJo.
So, is JoJo your final answer?
Yeah.
It was JoJo Bizarre Adventure Giovanni's theme.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Have you saw JoJo yet?
I haven't, but I've seen like parts, like clips and stuff like that. You know, the guy with the purple hat and he's like walking with his hands in his pocket and stuff like that.
Jotaro. Yeah. That's my I got the star. I got the Joestar tattoo anime. That's my look. That's my favorite. I don't care what nobody say. That's my favorite anime. You got to have a required taste.
That's pretty cool. I was one anime that I did leave out was Fist of the North Star. I like Kenji
North Star. That's a good pick. That's a tough one. All right, people. You got two more. We are almost there. So it's starting to get to the hard stuff now. All right. Let me see. What's another one? Alright. Nervous?
No, it's just my phone. I think my phone is getting low.
Alright. Here go the fourth one. Are you ready for the fourth one?
Yep.
Alright, here we go. Again, another commercial. I usually have my YouTube side on, people, but I can't sign it on because I got an interview going on. Right, here we go. You hear it?
Indiana Jones.
Say it again.
Is it Indiana Jones?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
There we go. All right. We at the home stretch, y'all.
Just got to plug up real quick. Oops.
All right. All right, go ahead. All right, y'all think you're gonna get this one? Are you ready, good sir?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Here go the last one. Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. For all the marbles, name this tune.
Are you ready, good sir? It was 104
days of summer
vacation. School comes along just to end it. So the annual problem
for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Is that your final answer?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Super sure.
Y'all give it up for him. Give it up for him. Clap it up. Clap it up. Clap it up. He got it. It was Phoenix and Ferb. Okay, that theme song goes hard to me. I like it. I enjoy it.
It's iconic. Like, everybody knows, like, Phoenix and Ferb, you know?
Now, Ronnie, let me ask you this question. Are you a gambling man?
No.
Okay. Hey, you want to keep, you know, your 5-0, or do you want to go for the bonus round?
Oh, the bonus round is going to take me out. I'm not a gambling man. I was told never.
Okay, we going. So you want to hold that 5-0?
Yeah, I think I'll hold it.
Okay, cool. Y'all clap it up for him.
When to walk away.
Hey, it's okay. Sometimes, hey, you a smart man. You know when to hold them, and you know when to fold them, because this ain't Texas.
Yeah.
See, he laughed at the joke. He caught on to it. Didn't nobody else laugh? That was a good joke. Y'all, that overthrew y'all heads. But anyway, bro, thank you for coming on, man. I got to ask you, how was this experience? How did you enjoy it?
Great. It was a great interview, and you're a great host, man.
Thank you. God, that was going to be my next question. How was I as a host? But you said I was a great host now. I can go cry in the corner now. All right. So, man, before we end this awesome interview, is there anything you want to tell the people in the words of encouragement? And also, let the people know where they can find all your great work and where they can follow you at on all social platforms. And it's on you, good sir.
Okay. So, my social media is Ronnie Creates, R-O-N-N-Y Creates. And my official comic book company, comic book Instagram page is Radical Comics, but Radical Comics with a K. And I just had my Kickstarter, so you won't be able to pre-order the books. But at some point, I am going to make a website so that people can purchase the books. And you might be able to find a copy of All-Star Book 1 and Book 2 on Google. So if you guys would like to take a snapshot of this book, or go to my Instagram.
Boom.
All-Star Protect and Serve and All-Star Book 2 Destiny. If you go to my Instagram, you should be able to find the titles, and you can, you know, look me up on Google and you find the books out there too. So
one more time, man. Yeah. Please show them that. Please show them the action figure one more time. Look at that greatness. Y'all see it. Hey, hold it up for a minute real quick. Let's keep holding it up. I'm going to do something. I had to do it. I just had to do it, bro. Thank you for coming on, bro. This was awesome. Keep doing your thing, man. And hopefully, you know, we can collab more, do something else together. But this was awesome. And people... Okay. Thank you for tuning in, and at this time, baby boys, baby girls, what's going on? It's your boy, SKIP.88, yeah, from Florida. Thank you for tuning in, for being a blur with my boy, Ronnie Creates. Y'all go out, support him, get the comic books, follow his page, show him some love, and at this time, WTW, what's the word, say it with me, UNITY, and what's that spell? Unity. And this is how we want to make it to life together. Y'all take care, and I'll see you next time on Being a Blur. And we out. Your crew thick like two brothers, that's Full Metal, no Kubrick. Too sick for the birds, rolling up foul, homie, that's stupid.